on this 4th of July holiday weekend. Just beautiful weather that we've been blessed to have. So we're glad that you're here. We've been studying through the book of Romans. We started last year in September on Romans chapter 1, and we are in chapter 10 now. And just glad to share this with you and preach the gospel to you. It's really the book of Romans is about the gospel. It's how you, by faith in Christ, can be made right with God. By his grace, he gives you the salvation that we've been singing about, talking about already this morning. So thankful for our freedom, for our country that we have, and for the privilege that we can just gather together. We can open our Bibles. We can talk freely about the Lord Jesus Christ. We know not all nations and places have that freedom, but we do have it, and we want to rejoice in that today and celebrate God's goodness to us. Last week, if you go to chapter 10, we finished on verse 13, which is a quote from the Old Testament. It was true in the Old Testament. It was true in the time of Christ. It's true in the time of the apostles, and it is still very true today, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is the simple gospel. I mean, as simple as you can get it, right down to one little verse, one little sentence, that there's no works that we do to try to make us right with God. Our nation, we celebrate our independence, but personally, we need to leave independence behind and become dependent on Christ, just to trust only in him. And through laws and legislators and throughout history, there have been kings and lawmakers that have taken away freedoms. But you cannot have your salvation taken away. It is given to you as a gift from God. And as you call on him to be your Savior, he will save you. I mean, that's the promise of Romans. And that was true way back in the Old Testament, still true today. And that's where we left off last week. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. However, people have to know this. They have to know this message. And so this next part of chapter 10 that we'll look at has the idea the gospel must be given and received. This is true, that Christ will save anyone who believes on him, calls on him as their Savior. But they have to know it, and the people who hear it have to receive it. So, today you might be in one of two groups of people. Either you need to be sharing the gospel, finding ways to get the gospel out to others, or you're someone who has heard the gospel but has not yet received it. So you're one of two. I received Christ. I've received this gospel. I know for sure when I was 10 years old that I trusted in Christ. But maybe when I was 6. The details are a little blurry. I remember calling on Jesus to save me when I was 6 years old in my basement riding a tricycle. But when I was 10, I really had a better understanding of the gospel and the cross, and I said, I want to make sure that I have called on Christ. But you know what? It was probably that 6-year-old. Because whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, whether you're 6 or 60 or beyond. So you're either someone who needs to be giving the gospel, or you yourself need to receive it. Well, let's pray, and then we'll look at this passage together. Father, thank you for the freedom that we have, and thank you for the great privilege that we can gather here, that we have Bibles we can open. Father, we have fans and air conditioning and lights and water, and Lord, we're blessed, and I pray that we would take your word into our heart and that it would pierce us. It would cut away what needs to be gone in our life, and it would stir us to live for you, to share this good news of Christ to those who desperately need to hear it. And I ask, Lord, if there's anyone listening right now that has never received the gospel, I pray that today would be that day, that they would let go of their independence on themselves and they would just trust Christ completely to save them, take away their sins and make them a new creation. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. First, I see, starting in verse 14, is our responsibility with the gospel. Our responsibility with the gospel. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but verse 14 says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And that's why we have to be careful. I'm going to say this. You call on the name of the Lord, but you have to know who the Lord is. You have to call on him out of faith. I guess I would say it like this. A prayer does not save you. Just saying words. In fact, maybe you'll drive on I-75 and you'll see a graffiti, really, some spray paint on the side of an overpass or even a billboard that will say, save me, Jesus. And there's almost the thought that if someone just says those words, it's like a magic formula that gets you into heaven. But it is not just praying a prayer. When I read gospel tracts, and we have some in the back if you want to take one. By the way, that's how I really got my salvation confirmed, was with a gospel tract. It was written out and explained how I could go from being a sinner to being a child of God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Anyway, when you look at a tract, I look at the back first. And if it says, just pray this prayer, that makes me nervous. I think, just pray a prayer. Because what Paul says is, you have to call on the Lord to save you. But how can you do that if you haven't believed in him? The words of a prayer just express what you believe in your heart, what you're trusting in, that you were a sinner and Christ died for your sins. He rose again and you believe that for yourself. And you don't want to work your way to heaven or earn your way or hope that maybe you've done enough good or at least you haven't done too much bad. Paul says, how will they call on him, on Christ, in whom they have not believed? This calling, it's like calling out for help. And it comes from a believing heart. Paul's clarifying this. And he says, how are they to believe in him? So he's already said, you must call, but you can't call unless you believe. And how can you believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? This is where our job comes in, our responsibility. That there are people who would call on Christ if they knew about him. But they don't know about him because they haven't yet heard about him. And do you know how God, with his perfect wisdom, do you know how he has planned to get the gospel to people? Through you, through other people, through a tract, through a shoebox that you send at Christmas time with gospel material in there. Today, we're excited because we have a group that's going down for a week to Western Pennsylvania, the town of Slippery Rock, and the camp is Slippery Rock Baptist Camp, and we're going to go stay there. I wouldn't say that it's rustic, but it's not modern either. It's sort of what modern forgot. Okay, but it'll be a great adventure for our group. And we have the privilege to lead their primary day camp, which is elementary students. And they're going to come in and we're going to teach them songs and verses and Bible lessons, and we're going to play games with them and swim with them and go to lunch with them, do crafts with them, all these things for the week. And that's just in the morning. That's in the morning from 10 to 2. And then the camp will find us some other things to do. I'm quite sure of that, because Slippery Rock Baptist Camp, it's a great place, but everything is broken. You can't break anything because it's already broken. So the great thing is that their philosophy is bring young people, teenagers, college students, and let them try their hand at ministry. Let them paint and fix a door and lead a song and do a skit. And the camp director, he really has a heart for not just reaching campers, but also building a staff up in their Christian life. How will they hear without someone preaching, without someone taking the good news? Let's say you became a Christian, and I don't know how old you were, but let's say there came that time that you trusted in Christ to save you. Do you remember? That's your story. That's your testimony. That's what you can share with someone else who's lost, who needs to be saved, who needs to be forgiven. And how will they hear if someone doesn't tell them? How will they hear unless someone is preaching? The word preaching, it's a present active participle. You know what that means? It means it's an ongoing activity. Someone needs to be doing the talking for Christ. Someone needs to be witnessing, actually proclaiming Jesus. It's the action of one who is a herald. That's H-E-R-A-L-D, herald. It's someone who is a herald. They've been given a message, and they are to go out and announce the message. That's what preaching is. You announce the message. It's handed to you, and you read it, and then you proclaim it as truth. The message, when in the Greek, the message is from a superior, someone higher up, with an announcement about that superior. And by the way, preaching is not just Sunday at 11 o'clock, but proclaiming, heralding the good news of Jesus, who is Savior and Lord of all who believe. And then verse 15, I think there's two ways to understand verse 15. I think both are true. Who sends out those who do the preaching? Those who do the talking about the gospel? Who sends out the preaching? I think, first of all, it's God. But second of all, it's churches. It's God working through a church. He says in verse 15, how are they to preach unless they are sent? So this week, as our little group goes down to Pennsylvania, we go in the name of Christ, but we're sent by this church. We're sent by Indian River Baptist Church. Otherwise, how could we go? I think that's part of why church is so important. It's us coming together as believers in Christ. And this is what God intended. For us to come together, to fellowship, to work together, to share our talents, to share our abilities, to share the things that God has given us so that we can go out towards the world. We can do more together than we could ever do alone. How can they preach unless they are sent? And then he quotes, and he's quoting the Old Testament all through this chapter 10. He quotes Isaiah 52. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, preach the gospel. Beautiful feet. Now, I don't know about your feet, but I want you to think about feet in the Bible times where they didn't have, you know, Nike shoes, and they didn't have Doc Martin boots or whatever. They had sandals, right? So feet back then that have been walking around in the Middle East climate, in the dust and whatnot, were not often clean, and I would not think are beautiful. So what does this mean from Isaiah 52 and Paul writing in Romans 10 that the people who bring the gospel, their feet are beautiful? What does he mean by that? I think he means what they bring is so precious that we're glad to have their feet. We're glad their feet have carried them to us as dusty and smelly as they might be. These are feet that have traveled because they're attached to people who care about us. That's a beautiful thing, to go and to travel and, and to sacrifice and to do whatever is needed to give the good news. Literally, in this text, it's those announcing good news about good things. It's a double reference to that which is good. Those announcing good news about good things. Isn't the gospel good? I mean, that's just the littlest word we could... I'm trying to sum up a lot in that word good. The gospel is good. It means there's hope for us. That we don't have to suffer in hell. That we don't have to live in guilt now. That we can be adopted into his family. We can be declared right with the King of the universe. That's good news. And he says, those who bring the good news about good things, even their feet are beautiful. So this is, number one, our responsibility, is to give this gospel out, to take it, to go. And maybe you can't go. Maybe you can give to those who are going. Maybe you can pray, you can call, you can encourage. But we have a responsibility with the gospel. How will they believe in whom they have not heard? Second, many in Israel reject the gospel. And Paul he's writing to the church, he's talking about the gospel, but the question may come up, what about the Jewish people? What about those that had God's covenants and all the commandments? Why are they not saved? Why are they not accepting the gospel? When it seems like so many Gentile people are accepting the gospel. But Paul says, this, we should have known this even from the Old Testament. He says, verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, which means believe the gospel. I mean, what is the commandment that we're to obey in the gospel? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's the command. Have you obeyed that? Have you obeyed God's command to believe in his Son? He says, not everyone has done that. They have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, and he quotes Isaiah 53, Lord, who has believed our report? Or who has believed what he has heard from us? In other words, not many. Even in Isaiah's context, when Isaiah was doing his ministry, say 700 years before Christ, even then there were not many who would hear and who would turn to God in repentance. Lord, who has believed our report? And this is Isaiah 53. That's the first verse of Isaiah 53, where he is going to talk about the suffering Savior, the one who would come and like the sheep goes before his shearers. He doesn't open his mouth. But the Lord lays on him our iniquity. By his wounds we are healed. And Paul quotes Isaiah saying, who has believed this? It seems like not very many. Not very many from the people of Israel. But he says in verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ, the gospel. How do you believe? Let me ask you, who told you about Jesus? Who do you remember was the first one to talk to you about the Lord, about the Savior? Was it someone you worked with? Someone at school? Your parents or a grandparent? Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher or a vacation Bible school worker. But your faith in Christ came because you heard the message that someone else gave you. It's so neat. Keep praying for Bill Dietz and Connie and their granddaughter Nicole. But did you ever hear the story about the missionaries that were killed in Ecuador? Nate Saint, Jim Elliott, and their friends. They went down to Ecuador and they tried to reach the Indians, and they were murdered. But their wives went back and continued to minister and continued to give the gospel so that even their husbands' murderers could be saved. That's amazing. Only God could do that in a person's heart, to have that kind of love and care, to want to take the gospel and believe that people could hear it and people could believe it. But I mentioned Bill and Connie because, true story, when Connie was a girl, a little girl growing up downstate, I think in Pontiac area, when she was about 9 years old, 9, 10, 11, her next door neighbor was a teenage girl, 14 years old. And this teenage girl would host a Bible club in her garage just for kids in the neighborhood. You know, kids playing ball and whatever, and they would come over, and she would host, 14 years old, she would host a Bible club. And it was at that Bible club that Connie Dietz trusted Christ as a little girl. Now, Connie Dietz is, she's a senior citizen and just faithful to the Lord. But that girl, her neighbor, her name was Mary Lou, and she was the wife of one of the missionaries that went to Ecuador. And even as a teenager, she wanted to see people hear the gospel message and believe it. And this verse 17, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Through just telling that gospel, Jesus died for you. But I've done a lot of bad things in my life. Jesus died for all your sins. He will cleanse them and take them away if you trust in him. Your sins are like scarlet, he will wash them to be whiter than snow. And this is why we share the gospel message. This is why we tell others what Jesus has done. When we tell what he's done for us, we're sharing the word of Christ. But Paul, he is still very concerned about his own countrymen. That's what he said from chapter 9, chapter 10, chapter 11, is he has this burden. Paul even said he wishes he could be condemned away from Christ, cursed from Christ forever, if Israel could be saved. He says, verse 18, but I ask, have they not heard? I mean, if faith comes by hearing, why are they not believing? Haven't they heard? He says, indeed they have. For their voice has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. Paul quoting Psalm 19, where creation witnesses to the glory of God. When you live in northern Michigan, every morning and every evening, the sunrise, the sunset, it's a postcard. It's a picture. Even when there's like 5 feet of snow on the ground, the sunsets are just still, they're just beautiful. And you walk at night and you go out and you see just the billions of stars and how they are ordered and how they give direction to people out at sea. My friend Josh said when he would go deer hunting with his dad didn't believe in taking something silly like a compass out into the woods. And so they hunted down here in Vanderbilt, Pigeon River country. And Josh said sometimes they would get lost. Even his dad, the great woodsman, would get lost. And he said, if my dad was looking up through the trees to try to see the stars, I knew we were in trouble. I knew we were in trouble trying to get our way out of the swamp. But those stars are up there because God breathed them out. He spoke, and there are stars. And the heavens declare the glory of God. And Paul says, people know that there is a God. And this gospel message has been already going out into the world, to the ends of the world. The apostles have gone out, and people who believed the message the apostles gave, they have gone out. This gospel message is spreading everywhere, but they have not put their faith in Jesus. So many not put their faith in Jesus. Third, though many Jews reject the gospel, many Gentiles receive the gospel. Many Gentiles, and I think that's probably most of us, receive the gospel. But the strong question, he says, I ask, did Israel not understand? I mean, it's not that they haven't heard, so maybe they just didn't get it. Maybe they didn't understand that Jesus was the saving Messiah they were looking for. But, he says, even the Gentiles, even those who are, he calls them foolish because they didn't have the law. They didn't have the Old Testament. They didn't know about Abraham and Moses and David. But even these Gentiles, they believe the gospel of Jesus. Paul comes and he preaches in their town, and the Jews, for the most part, say, no, get away from us. And the Gentiles believe. Jesus died. He died for me. That's great news. And they would believe. But this was what was prophesied in Deuteronomy 32. Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. Because Israel was a nation, right? They'd come out of Egypt and God put them together and gave them a covenant. And here there are these Gentiles from all over. They're not some special nation, but they're believing. They're coming to faith just like you did. And here he says in verse 19, Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation with a foolish nation. I mean, those who don't know the Old Testament. I will make you angry. Why? I mean, these are people outside of the covenants, the promises of Israel, and they're coming to faith, and God is doing this, and we'll see more in chapter 11. Okay, so come back next week. We'll see more in chapter 11 that God is bringing salvation to the Gentiles so that the Jews will want it too. Jesus came, and they rejected him, and Paul would go to the synagogues, and they would reject him, but Gentile after Gentile from Europe, Africa, Asia, here in America, South America, all over, there are people receiving the gospel and churches are growing. And God says there is coming a day when Israel will be drawn back to me because of the salvation they see in others around the world. And when this happens, we will say, oh, it was right there in the Bible. Even verse 20, the great prophet Isaiah is so bold to say, and listen to how Isaiah speaking for the Lord, I have been found by those who did not seek me. See, you have, it's not just Jewish people, but religious people. They want to do as much as they can to try to get to God. And so if that means going on a pilgrimage, or if that means some kind of personal affliction that they do, or some kind of format they set up for themselves. They're seeking God, but they're seeking him on their own terms. They're seeking him the way they think someone should. And here, Paul says, God has been found by those who did not seek me. How is that possible? It's because someone came with the gospel and gave it to them. Here's someone not looking for the Lord, and the Lord finds them. Wow. Because God is sovereign over us. He sends out people like us who are not perfect, who don't always say the right thing. Have you ever been in a discussion with a non-believer who poses a question to you that you can't answer? And while you're thinking of trying to come up with an answer, they give you another question that you... And so, well, I can't get to that till I answer this. And yet, God uses imperfect, stumbling, struggling people to give the good news to those who are lost. For those who might not even be seeking him. It happened to my dad. My dad, he made a deal with God. He was not a believer. He lived out in, he worked in Dearborn, Ford Motor Company. And he wanted to move up north. He wanted to live up in the north country. And so he made a deal with God. He said, God, if you'll get me moved up to northern Michigan, I'll go to church. And you know what? Through a series of events, he and my mom and I, we moved up north, 1978. And he forgot all about his promise, his deal. He forgot about his end of the deal. And then a man he worked with, at the tool and die shop, got up his courage, walked over to where my dad was working and said, hey, do you go to church anywhere? And my dad said, well, no. But that reminded him of his deal with God. And he went to church and he heard the gospel, and he and my mom were saved 2 weeks later. Came to faith in Christ. You know, I think of my dad. He wasn't trying to seek the Lord. He was trying to do a deal with the Lord. He wanted to get up in the north where he could fish and hunt. And But God was seeking him. And this is what Paul says, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself who did not ask for me. And maybe one day the Jewish people will say, wait a minute, that's our Father. That's our Messiah. But it is God revealing himself to people like you and me through the message, through the preaching of apostles and missionaries and those who will come and tell us this gospel. And these outsiders believed, they rejoiced and received the good news that, verse 13, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And Isaiah is bold about this. Israel, salvation is only by God's grace. That's what he's saying. You're seeking and working and you've got your commandments and laws, and it's by grace that we are saved through faith in Christ. Many multitudes of Gentiles have been saved everywhere on earth. And I think what Isaiah in the scriptures and Paul is calling out, saying, Israel, won't you come home? Won't you be like the prodigal son and come home? And so fourth, as we finish, God remains faithful to his people. The Jews, many Jews are rejecting the gospel. Many Gentiles are receiving the gospel. But God remains faithful to his people. Verse 21. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. That's Isaiah 65. All day long. And what do you see there except just the patience of God? Can you see him? I mean, here as a child, you imagine your child, they trip and they fall, and you want to give them your hand to help them up, and they no, I can do it myself, but it's slippery and it's muddy and they can't get up. And they want to get up, but they don't want any help doing it. And here God says, all day long, I've stretched out, I've held out my hands to you. That's the patience of God. It's his long suffering. And he may be holding his hands out to you. And he may have been holding his hands out to you for years and years. But if you're here, if you're listening today, it could be God reaching out his hand, offering you his gospel to be received by faith. It's a gift that you receive into your life, that he offers it to you. All day long I've held out my hands, he says, to a disobedient and contrary. That's just stubborn. That's just, I will do this on my own. And God says, but I've already done it all. I will take you up. I will lift you out. My hands are stretched out to you. He says, all day long, his picture of patience and love. And you know, it may be that you do understand, but you're just being stubborn. You're just saying, I'm sure I'm not that bad of a person. I'm sure I'm going to be okay. And yet he says, all day long, I'm holding out my hands to you. Will you believe on him? Will you call on him to be your Savior? Is God holding his hands out patiently, waiting and wanting to save your soul? Well, when we get to chapter 11, you will see there is a plan for God's people of Israel. And God's working it out. And he is actually saving us outside of Israel, but he's saving us and bringing us into the new covenant so that one day the Jewish people will also be brought back. You'll be part of that, part of this great body, this great one people of God that he is building and saving. I have three quick applications in case I missed anything or as I close. Number one, sharing the gospel. I mean, that's what this begins with. How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without someone preaching to them, telling them, announcing the good news to them? So that's our responsibility. Find a way to do that. Second is the sending and being sent. Our church supports a number of missionaries, but I wonder if God might call from our own body of believers, our own fellowship here, might God call someone to go out and serve him? That we as a church might send someone else. We've sent Micaiah. He's gone. It's been a year almost. Got a year to go. Carrie Kennedy, she's going tomorrow to Brazil. She's going. Alyssa is going to Africa. I know you're not a member here, but we still claim you, right? Could God be calling you? Could God call you, put you in your heart? And listen, if God is calling you, we as a church, we'll be glad to help send you. Because we want to send out so that others can hear the gospel. And then finally, seeing God in his patient but sovereign work. That's what's in this passage. There are those, they hear but they don't understand and they reject, and God says, I'm in control of all of this. See him at work. He is patient. He is wanting to save you. And we see him in his patient and sovereign work of salvation. The gospel. It is good news about good things. Will you stand together with me? I want to lead us in a closing prayer, and we'll sing a song together. But would you just bow your heads and close your eyes? And just, I want you to think, have you received the gospel? Has God held out his hand to save you, to lift you out of your sin, to lift you out of the judgment that should come from sin? And have you received his hand? Have you taken his hand and said, yes, I will trust you. I will follow you as my Lord and my Savior. Save me. I mean, the gospel is this, that you're a sinner, but Jesus died on a cross for the penalty of your sin, all of your sin. And he rose again to give you eternal life. Have you accepted that? If not, right now, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus died for you? He rose again from the grave for you to take away your sin, to make you his child and bring you to heaven? You can call on him if you believe. You can call on him in your heart. And second, how are we doing with getting this message out? People need to hear it, and God has called us to share it. Father, we love the gospel. We thank you that you have done it all, that you offer us freedom in Christ. You give us your righteousness, eternal life, forgiveness, adoption, access to you, eternal salvation, a home in your kingdom. And Father, we thank you for all these things, and I pray if there's anyone that needs to call on you as Savior, that today they would be just saved by your grace. And I pray that we as Christians would let these verses burn in our hearts. How shall they believe in whom they have not heard? And may we be sent out from you by the church to tell this good news and how it's changed our lives. We give you all the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We'd like to sing a closing song with you, and then I'll ask our missions team to come up so you can pray for us.